Blog Talk Radio.
This is Cheap for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, welcome to Cheap for Yourself. Great to have you with us wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. Well, the key in Cheap for Yourself is energy, of course, and around here, energy is everything. You've heard me say that a number of times. Our guest today is an energy medicine practitioner and intuitive with 35 years of experience. Ellen Meredith teaches energy healing techniques all over the world. Ellen is the author of The Language Your Body Speaks, Self-Healing with Energy Medicine. Ellen, you write that your inner teachers moved you to come to California and learn to be a healer. Describe that time and what it was like for you to get this calling.
Well, it's interesting because I was from Michigan, and this was, about 40 years ago or something. So it was a while ago. It wasn't a time when people were talking about spiritual matters or energy or healing or any of it. And they kind of woke me up and trained me. I mean, my grandmother, who was dead, showed up with a message and then said, well, if you'll slow down and listen, then we'll train you. And I started getting messages and writing them down. And they started, these are, I believe, a part of myself. I mean, I believe there's a part of all of us, or each of us, that I call the wiser self, that is almost like a collective consciousness. At that level, we're more collective, kind of like grass. You can look at an individual blade of grass, and if you look underneath, all the roots are intertwined. And I kind of believe we're that way as well, that our consciousness does intermingle at some level. So if we can get our awareness to that level, we have more insights into kind of bigger picture. So they told me in their teaching of me that I would be moving to California and I would get very sick, and in the process of healing, I would learn to be a healer. And it was not something I set out to do. I mean, I'm going, really? Okay, I like the California part.
Yeah.
And I did end up getting a job in California. I had a teaching job out here because I'm now in California. And I did end up getting sick. And I couldn't figure out what to do, so I went to the doctor. And the doctor, bless her heart, she said, there's nothing I can do to help you. You don't have anything medically wrong. And I had horrible symptoms. I had horrible gut aches. I wasn't handling food. I was really feeling, I had no energy. I felt terrible. And she said, you have malaise. And I was so mad because that's French for discomfort. And I had paid her $80 to tell me, yeah, I was uncomfortable in French. And I was so mad. Yeah. But she said, you know, I'm going to send you to a complementary practitioner. I had never thought about it. She sent me to a chiropractor who does applied kinesiology, which is the origin of the muscle testing a lot of,
right,
you people will be familiar with. And it works with meridians, and a lot of Chinese medicine is built into that system. And I was enchanted. I just thought, this is the coolest thing ever. But in the process of working with this practitioner, I realized something I didn't know about myself, which is that I could see energies. I could see or perceive what was going on in my body, what was going on in her body. I could look at the supplements on the shelf and I could say, okay, I need the fourth one from the right on the second shelf down, and I need it twice a day with meals. And she would energy test or muscle test, and it would turn out to be true. So it was a wonderful apprenticeship in really working bit by bit with what was I sensing, and what did the energy test tell us, and then what were we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me started on the path to being a healer.
You know, I asked that right off the top because I had a similar story many years ago. I'm much older than you. I'm older than everyone.
I don't think so.
but I had a similar story where I came from the East Coast to California and did my work here and just moved in very naturally, comfortably. And at the time, I called it an intuitive hit. Now, was I just selling it short? Is there more to it than that?
Well, I think we can have whatever belief system we're comfortable with. If you want to call it an intuitive hit, if you want to call it a psychic awakening, if you want to call it a spiritual awakening, I believe that the equipment for perceiving energies is built right into the body. And it isn't a special psychic gift. It is an extension of our everyday senses and our everyday intuition. I mean, you couldn't walk through a crowded room and not bump into a lot of people unless you had radar. right? Mm-hmm. We all have this kind of radar that allows us to navigate in life. And we couldn't manage traffic if we didn't have radar along with our eyes, ears, et cetera. So in the book, I really encourage people not to worry about the terminology of, is it psychic? Is it intuitive? But instead to say, well, what is this equipment I have? And how come I'm not using it on my own behalf? What can I do to enter into? Because the language that your body speaks is energy. Just under the surface of our awareness all the time, body, mind, and spirit are always communicating using energy. Mm-hmm. It rides under the chemical signaling of the body. It influences the chemistry of the body. So if we can dip into that energy communication that underlies our chemistry, we can influence our health and well-being, and we can participate in what I call the construction of self, the mind, body, spirit dance that we're all doing, trying to have a life. So did that answer your question or go away?
No, it did. It did very well. I didn't know if I was being simplistic, saying, well, it's just a hit, maybe there's more to it than that.
I love that you didn't go grandiose with it, because I like the thought that we all have it, that we're all special. It's not just a few individuals who can tell us our truth. I really feel like it's our job, especially now with all the untruths flying around, we have to get into that inner guidance system that tells us our own personal truth. And we're not generic. We're all different. We're all as different as a thumbprint, as Donna Eden likes to say. So we have to be able to get into that communication.
Yeah. I trusted my intuition, and I know for some people they may be hearing it, but they think, oh no, they try to squash it down. And I think cemeteries are filled with people who've done that and missed their whole life, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's good reason for it. If you think of the history of Western culture, I mean, people got killed in witch hunts for having uncanny powers, for having any kind of knowing that couldn't be perceived easily by other people. And then in school, and as we're growing, parents and others say, oh, no, honey, you're just imagining that, or you're not really seeing something, or no, I don't think that's true. And so one of the skills of being psychic or having intuition is developing a brain that can interpret the signals, interpret the information we're getting, and figure out, was that just a metaphor? Was it a literal truth? Is it something that is coming in or something that's happening now? Where is this information coming from? We do that all the time when we take in a visual image or we take in sound. We always have to interpret it. And as we're growing up, we train the brain to interpret the inputs and codify our reality, but we don't train the brain to interpret our intuition, that whole stream of knowing that comes from within, and interpret it and test it with what else we know. So I always encourage people to triangulate. You get a psychic hit. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's a metaphor. Maybe it's, distorted because we do have some blockages to this way of knowing. Then play with it. Work with it. Test it over time and see if it works out to be good guidance for you.
Yeah. Energy healing kind of flips the conversation around from what's wrong, the way allopathic medicine often does, to how we can get back to a state of well-being. Talk a little bit more about that.
Okay. Yeah, we tend to think of ourselves in medical terms. I mean, bless doctors for doing what they do. It's not what we do or what I do. But that medical model, as you say, what's wrong? How do we fix it? It just permeates our thinking. And if you switch the paradigm and say, but what's happening in the body is communication. And endocrinologists will tell you this, but other doctors haven't quite gotten there. Everything that's going on in the body is communication. And if you take a communication model, you've got a couple things. You've got what's being communicated, how is it being communicated, and how can we respond appropriately so that communication becomes an effective dialogue or communion with our body, with our mind, with our spirit, with other people.
That would be the energy dialogue that you
Yeah,
about.
So that's the energy dialogue I talk about in my book. And if you shift the question, you get very different answers. One rule of energy is that whatever you attend to, that's what gets fed. So if you say, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, you get a lot of information about what's wrong, and it's a good distraction from what needs to be right. So if you ask, what is needed? What can I cultivate? Or how can I cultivate what's needed? You're actually constructing wellness rather than giving more life to your illness.
Now that we've experienced a pandemic or are experiencing pandemic and the effects of a possibly lethal virus, is there a way that we can use energy healing or even ward off the effects of one of these viruses?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you think, and I just want to put in a little advertisement here, which free, I put up an 8-video course on YouTube on energy medicine self-help tools for enhanced immunity that addresses this very question of what can you do today, waiting for the doctors to come up with what they're going to come up with, but what can I or you do to strengthen our immune system, enhance our immunity? And I actually got a lovely note from a woman in Holland who had COVID-19, found the videos right as she was just able to get up out of her bed, used them, and within a week she was back to, not only just back to herself and normal, but feeling way better than she had in a long time.
Right.
So I do know, you know, from some anecdotal evidence that it works, and also from years of working with clients with other viruses. So yes, there are many things you can do. And one is, if you think about virus like a computer virus, that it's a bit of false code. So a virus comes in and it takes over your RNA or your DNA and it tells your body to do things you don't want your body to do. The more your immune system knows this is me, this is not me, the stronger your sense of self and identity is, the less likely that false code will confuse your body and take over the cells. Your immune system set up to get rid of it. And we see that lots of people test positive but have no symptoms.
Right.
Because their immune system, for whatever reason, isn't being fooled by the false code. So what we need to do is emphasize true code. What is me and how do I get that truth stronger? And I give lots and lots of energy medicine in my book and also in these free videos to address that.
Now, if you were one of these health experts who is getting so much face time on the big networks, what would you say, I guess in layman's terms, to put people's minds at ease with everything that's going on with this?
Okay. Well, first of all, I would differentiate between the virus and the pandemic. A certain number of people are getting this virus. Most of us have the pandemic. Most of us are experiencing some kind of disruption and the shared thought form of this pandemic. And in a way, we're doing a service to all of the bodies on the planet, because as we stay home, as we shelter in space, we're actually doing something I call gestating yin. We're actually, we stop that process of do that's wearing everybody, that was wearing lots of people down. And we go into a more reflective, inner restorative energetic state. And the more of us who are doing that, we're helping other people. Well, hopefully we're also reaching out with our resources and helping people who have lost jobs and all of that. So what I would say is look at where you are with the virus and with the pandemic. And don't confuse the two. If you do not have the virus, don't let the pandemic be your only reality. Because we create a shared web of energetic web. We each sort of weave our own strand into the shared, you know, like the grass roots that I talked about. We weave our own strand in. And so the question for each of us is, what do I want to weave into the collective? What do I want to give to humanity right now? Especially if I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I actually have some time and space. What do I want to contribute to humanity? And rest is a good contribution. Doing nothing is a good contribution. But so is art and creativity. And we see that on the internet. So many people putting up creative, fun culture. They're creating culture, not just binging on existing movies and stuff. So what I say is build up your immune system, ground, get yourself really grounded. And I give lots of exercises for that in the book. And work on finding your truth. Because the louder you sound your truth, the less vulnerable your personal body is to the virus itself.
Our guest on this Chief for Yourself is Ellen Meredith, author of The Language Your Body Speaks, Self-Healing with Energy Medicine. A lot of people don't know what they want to do with their lives. This tends to be younger people, but they're looking for direction. They're looking for who they are, where they want to go, what they want to be. How can we connect this to the energy healing modalities?
Well, in my approach, the soul lays down a matrix of energy and we build a body on it. So this body is meant to be the instrument that plays the music of your individual soul. And souls are not generic. They're all different. So if you have your wiser self or soul juice, that's your feed, that's the music you want to play. You have the instrument, which is your body, and you have what I call the talking self, which is the mind that creates all the dramas, the storyline that you create. It's those three together. So it's about getting to know those three. That's what wellness is. It's having that committee of three really work together. Because the stress of not playing the music of your soul is at the root of most illness, right? Mm. The stress of blockage or the stress of not getting what you need that nourishes your particular inner truth. And so it is a wonderful adventure in moment by moment. It's like if I gave you this beautiful dog, I don't know if you like dogs, or cat, and said, here, for the duration, you get to take care of this creature. You probably wouldn't shove it in a corner and say, no, I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. Mm-hmm. You'd say, oh, puppy, you know, and you'd go playing. And I feel like we need to encounter ourselves with that kind of delight and enjoyment because it is through the instrument of self that the music of what and mind, that the music of what we're going to do in this life gets played. So if you don't know what you're going to do with your life, work on playing, practicing your instrument, but not scales. Play with it. See what it can do. See what makes you most come alive, because that's your best health as well. Whatever feeds you the most, what really floats your boat, will get you going where you need to go, right?
Right. On this program, we emphasize the genuine self is what I call it. And you write that you've had clients who show up with their essential self trailing several feet behind them. Talk about what that's like. Yeah. What do you see and what do you do when that happens?
Well, you know, it's like I see a body coming through the door and I see it kind of with a very formulaic way of meet and greet. It's not quite a robot, but it's a little droidal. And then behind them, I just feel this energy, this kind of yearning, this, and they're all different. Sometimes they're playful spirits. Sometimes they're very sad. It's like I feel separations in them. And I have exercises to help them unify those selves, to bring them back together, and that I teach clients. And I like to find out what is causing them to separate. When we are threatened, we partition. That's what we're designed to do. And that's to keep poison from spreading, right? And that's just it's something that I call the gatekeeper, which is your immune system. It's your physical, emotional, energetic, spiritual immune system. It's the gatekeeper. It keeps the gates of self. It says, you can come in, you have to stay out, right? It says, this is me, this is not me. Very simple concept. But the gatekeeper, in order to keep you safe, and that's all it wants. It doesn't care if you're happy. It wants you safe because it has to keep you in body and keep body and soul together. It will start to partition if it feels threatened or unhappy or unsafe. And so often what's happened with those people is maybe even from early childhood or from birth, they've started partitioning their energies. They don't have access to their whole self because it would be too dangerous. And so we have to kind of befriend and calm the gatekeeper and get it working, get it experiencing safety. Mm-hmm. And that's not just psychological safety, that's energetic safety, right?
Right. You talked, to go back to what you said about dogs and cats, I guess energy healing can help pets too, isn't that right? I mean, how do you get through to them? What do you do with them?
Well, you know, when you speak energy, it doesn't matter what level of creature it is. You can speak it with a plant. You can speak it with an animal, with your own body. Energy communicates in things we're very familiar with, and we ignore them all the time. Sound, rhythm, image or light, shape, pattern, smell, taste, touch, etc. And we can use any of those energy forms to move energy as well. And we all know that well. If you shut your eyes and picture yourself eating your favorite chocolate, your body will, you know, your mouth will salivate, you'll relax, you'll be anticipating the pleasure. It shifts a lot of things physically and energetically, even just imagining chocolate. So, and if you bring real chocolate in, you get even better results. Very good medicine for many people. And so it is about speaking to the body of whether it's the dog or yourself or the plant in its own language. And I might put my hand somewhere, I just like on the dog, because I'm not going to use language and I'm not going to use ideas. And we do that with ourselves too. And we miss a big opportunity to speak to ourselves by switching it always into a language, into English, and into intellectualizing. If we can keep it physical, like if you're feeling something, I'm going to ask your, I don't know if they're watching or listening, but ask your people to do this with me. Rub your hands together and take one hand and put it somewhere that it wants to go on your body. And you don't have to think it, just let your hand go there. Okay? Yeah. Now you're going to just tune in to the energy of that place and just say, what do you need? What can I give you? And see what comes for you. It might be nothing. And if your mind says, I don't get anything, you can still give it a gift. So I'm going to invite you to give it a rhythm, whatever rhythm you just intuitively feel you want to give. And you can tap it another place on the body. You can tap it on a table. You can tap it with your foot. So I'm just tapping a rhythm that I intuited, and I won't keep doing it in case your listeners are doing a different rhythm. And what I feel as I do that is what felt like a really sore muscle right here on my arm started to release. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I was speaking energy to it, and it was responding. If it didn't respond, I might try tuning in and say, what color are you? And what color do you want to be? And I would start to try to use my breath to shift that color to where it needed or wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of things you can do to both speak energy and explore what it's saying to you. And it's the same with a cat or a plant or anything that is any sentient being or consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Are there some energy-based practices we can use, not so much for healing, but for self-care, such as taking care of stress?
Yes, absolutely. Here's a good one that I like, and it is both healing and self-care, and it's in my book. It's called Cabinets of Wonders. What happens when we're stressed is we shut things down. It's just natural. I mean, you know, if there's danger in your neighborhood, you're going to shut the doors, right? You don't want people wandering in. And so what happens with the body is that we kind of shut down whole sections of the body, and then we forget to open it up again. So when stress feeds itself, it keeps going because there's no outlet behind the shut doors. So if you imagine you have these cabinets, and say your head is in a big cabinet, and there's cabinet doors in front of your face, and you reach around and you just unlock it. You can either do like a hotel room clasp that you just open, or you can turn a key in a lock, whatever. You unlock your cabinet door, you go inside with both hands flat against the inside of the cabinet doors, you breathe in. And as you exhale, you push the cabinet doors open, slowly or hard, however you need to do it. And then imagine there's a cabinet in front of your heart. We often shut the cabinet that stores our heart. You do the same thing. You go unlock it. You go inside, use your breath, and unlock it. And there's a cabinet in front of the gut as well. And a lot of people have digestive problems. And there's a cabinet that pretty much encompasses the belly and the stomach and the gut, the digestive organs. So you can open those. And sometimes if we have digestive stress and we're trying to micromanage our diet with all these different substances and it's just not working because we're so stressed about it, we're eating stress. It doesn't matter what the substances are, we're eating stress. Then using energy to just open the cabinets and release that space so it can operate. It often works wonders.
That's a great visual. There are websites dedicated to skepticism about energy medicine. They challenge it when they say it's not backed by science, neither is traveling to Lourdes, and that seems to do pretty well. What do you say to people who have that skeptical attitude?
Well, I say that that's wonderful. It's always good to be skeptical and question it. But then we need to kind of recognize that energy medicine is not an equivalency to allopathic medicine. It's not like we have pharmaceuticals plus, you know, surgery plus X and Y. It's a whole, they're whole different systems. We're using the term medicine in its original term, like in Native American, where we say that's good medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our language, the word medicine means anything that's very healing. So when we talk about energy medicine, it's using energy to bring healing. And so what I say to a skeptic is, well, do you believe that a beautiful sunset can help someone feel better? Do you believe that a moment of loving exchange can help someone feel better? Do you believe that having the room painted the color you love will make your life a little better? And usually they'll say, well, yes, and yes, and yes. And then I say, well, energy medicine is communicating with a part of you that responds to those kinds of stimulants and those kinds of communications and allows you to then enter into participation with your own health and well-being.
Sounds good to me. Before we finish up, just one more thing, and I'll let you go here. I'll ask you to leave us with one point from the book or just from your own experience that you want readers to keep in mind.
What I want readers to know is that energy is your first language. Before you speak English or French or Chinese, you learn to speak energy. I mean, you speak it. It's built into us. And it gets kind of socialized out of us. So what I want you to know is you absolutely can learn to understand and speak energy. It is your mother tongue. It's your birthright. And it is the key to participating in your own well-being. That's three things. A tripartite point.
Trifecta. All right, your website is ellenmeredith.com. The book is The Language Your Body Speaks, Self-Healing with Energy Medicine, from our guest, Ellen Meredith. Ellen, thanks for writing a great book. It gives us such a great look at energy healing. It's something that I'm sure will be talked about more and more in the future. And as you continue to work in the future, I hope you'll come back and share your experiences with us again.
Thank you. I would love that. It's been great. Thank you, John. And thank you for the work you do and the service you provide.
I'll have a link to Ellen's website at cheaperyourself.com. I hope you'll visit the site and subscribe to Genulines if you haven't done that already. Just put your email address into the slot at the top of the webpage and you'll be subscribed. Well, that's all for now. Thank you very much for being with us and for choosing cheaperyourself.com. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.